Lord be with you. Good morning. It's good to see you today here in worship with us. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity and delighted to welcome you. And if you are with us for the first time, especially glad that you have chosen to spend this morning with us. Please let us know that you've been here, and you can do that by filling out the connection card that's located in your bulletin. You'll have an opportunity to drop those in the offering plate a little bit later in the service. Let me tell you about our mission opportunities for today. You know, every week, Trinity receives a mission box offering that goes to meet a need in our community or in the world. And today, it is for Mercy Chefs. There's some information about Mercy Chefs in your bulletin. And after worship today, as you feel led, you may place an offering for Mercy Chefs in any of the mission boxes that are located at the exit doors. During the summer, we also are embracing a month of missions, actually a little bit more than a month, and giving you opportunities to bring items that can support ministries as well. And so that information will also be in the bulletin each week under the heading Missions. So you'll see information about what to bring the following week, each week as you look in the bulletin, so you'll know. And I believe next week is Travel Toothpaste. So that's in there. And another opportunity for us this summer to connect and to spend time with one another in fellowship is to journey over to the other side of the partition here. The reason we are set up with a divided partition for the summer is so that we can enjoy some lunch together on Sundays. Summer Sunday lunches, those are being prepared and offered immediately following the 11 o'clock service on worship side B. And so we hope that if you don't have lunch plans, you'll come back and join us for that as well. And for those of you who are wondering, what's the deal with the chairs? You know, we thought this summer would be an opportunity to try something just a little bit different and create an atmosphere that maybe felt a little more intimate as we talk about a series of messages beginning today that focuses on our oneness and our togetherness. So have no fear, we have not permanently moved your cheese. And we've heard from some of you who absolutely love the setup and some of you who not so much. And that's okay. But we're going to enjoy something a little bit different for the summer. And then when we get to the end of the summer, we'll return to the way that you all are accustomed to seeing the chairs arranged in here. Well, again, it's great to see you here today. And I want to give you a moment to share your greetings with one another as we prepare for our worship service. So would you stand and greet one another in the name of Christ?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship together by singing the opening hymn.
Sweet. Almighty God, we have come this day seeking your presence and healing love. Be with us as we worship and stir hope in our hearts. Give us grace to hear all you might say to us in this hour and the courage we need to boldly become the disciples of Jesus Christ you are calling us to be. And let us affirm our faith together using these words that you see on the screen, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
We turn now to a time of prayer. You see on the screen there the names of the folks who have been receiving nurture and support from our congregational care team. You're invited to remember them in your prayers today and throughout the week as your prayers avail much. But I also invite you to be in prayer for our mission team that is in Jamaica this week as well. And I know that we all gather for worship, bringing with us our own prayers, celebrations for what God is doing in our midst, concerns that we might be carrying in our hearts. So I will begin with a period of silence where you can pray to God in the quiet of your heart about those things. But let us unite our hearts and together go to God in prayer. In a world where uncertainty and fear seek to overwhelm, grant us peace and help us to place our trust in you. Help us to remain steadfast in our faithful work of doing good, doing no harm, and staying in love with you. Give us grateful hearts for your saving mercies, for your faithful love, for the many blessings you have poured upon us. Rekindle your flame burning inside us for righteousness and justice, and give us courage to become disciples of Jesus Christ who boldly serve as instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is despair, let us bring hope. Where there is darkness, let us shine light. We have prayed to you in the quiet of our hearts about people and situations that require help and healing mercies. Help us to remember that you are with each person and in each situation, offering your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for the many ways in which you have healed us and that you are healing us still, O God. In your mercy, hear our prayers. We ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die with thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and you shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest.
followers of Jesus Christ to share in the resources with which we have been blessed for the sake of the ministries we feel that God has called us to. So we offer our lives, we offer our very lives and those gifts back to God during offering. And so let us pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful for the many ways that you bless us. And we pray that as we give back to you now from what you have so richly and generously given to us, that we give back with grateful hearts to support the ministries of this church and the mission that you call us to, so that together we might be more faithfully the church that you are calling us to be. So receive these gifts, these tithes, these offerings, multiply them.
we turn our eyes to Jesus, I invite you to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this word with you this morning as I pray for you in receiving it. Let's pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So good morning and happy summertime. As of Thursday, we are officially in summer, and we certainly can feel it, right? One of the things that I'm excited about this summer is our summertime worship series. It's called Together for the Sake of the World. And we will be talking about what it looks like to be together as the church. You know, in January, we shared our theme for the year, which is deeper. And we're focusing and being intentional about focusing on going deeper in our faith and understanding, going deeper in our relationships with one another, and going deeper into discerning who we are as a church, who are our neighbors, and what we are called to do. Our foundational scripture for this year is from Ephesians, and it calls us to let our roots grow down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and to understand more of God's lavish love for us and come to experience it for ourselves. So in this series, we're going to go deeper into our faith and understanding as we look at the entire book of Ephesians. We'll walk through some of the major themes over the next 6 weeks. And as we're doing that, as Steve said, you're invited to join us in a month of missions and also join us for our summertime lunches after worship at noon. Ephesians is the fifth of what in the New Testament are characterized as the epistles or the letters of Paul, written by Paul and addressed to churches. It's called Ephesians because it's presumed to have been written to the church at Ephesus. But with a lot of research and scholarly inquiry, the common conclusion is that Ephesians was not written by Paul, that it was not written, at least not specifically, to Ephesus, and it is not actually a letter. In fact, it's more like a circular mailing that was sent out to a bunch of churches, probably in Asia Minor, and it was likely written with a blank in the superscription for the name to be inserted. It would be kind of like receiving a piece of mail addressed resident. Also, because it wasn't written to a particular people or about a particular circumstance, it's not really a letter or an epistle in the sense that the others are. It's more like a short sermon or a homily, and it was meant to be circulated among several churches. And then finally, it's widely accepted that it wasn't actually written by Paul, but a follower of Paul in the line of Paul's mission and message. And that wasn't at all unusual at the time. It was very common to write something and attribute it to someone else if you were trying to communicate their message. But aside from all that, that it's not really a letter, it wasn't really written by Paul, and it wasn't really to the Ephesians, the significance of the letter is not in question. And the purpose of the letter was to remind and define for everyone what it means to be church. That this book calls us to live out our faith together and to be mindful of our witness for the sake of the world. So, let's dive into our first Ephesians reading from the first chapter this week. And I'm reading from verses 3 through 14. And as I do that, I invite you all to listen particularly for the verbs, for the way that God acts for and with us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that comes from heaven. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in God's presence before the creation of the world. God destined us to be His adopted children through Jesus Christ because of His love. This was according to His good will and plan, and to honor His glorious grace that He has given to us freely through the Son whom He loves. We have been ransomed through His Son's blood, and we have forgiveness for our failures based on His overflowing grace, which He poured over us with wisdom and understanding. God revealed His hidden design to us, which is according to His good will and the plan He intended to accomplish through His Son. This is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. We have also received an inheritance. We were destined by the plan of God who accomplishes everything according to His design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. You too heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, because you believe in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance, which is applied toward the redemption, toward our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory. That's the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. So many of you know that 2 weeks ago today, Steve and I were away at our daughter's wedding. Shelby Hart, I think we've got a photo for you. Yep, Shelby Hart Price is now married to Michael Meehan, and is Shelby Hart Meehan. Shelby decided that she wanted us to be both her parents and her pastors that day, as we have been her whole life. And so she asked us to officiate. First, she asked her father to walk her down the aisle, and then she asked if I would specifically do the homily. You can imagine that that was a wonderful invitation. It was very hard to do as well. In the homily, I quoted the words of a song that has come to mean a lot to Shelby and Michael. It's called I Choose You, and by Ryan Darling, and this is what the chorus says. And I'd choose you. In 100 lifetimes, I'd choose you. In 100 worlds, I'd find you. And I'd say I do. For the rest of my life, with all that I have, I do and I will. When the sky is falling, I promise you I'm all in. No turning back. Every day, every moment, every breath you take, I choose you. You can tell by the look on Shelby's face as she is looking forward at Michael that she is excited to say, I do and I choose you. That song expresses the sentiment and the commitment that we hope is present in all weddings and in all marriages, that amazing love that commits to a lifetime together, come thick or thin, that you are all in. To feel that kind of love lavished on you by another person is an incredible gift. To know that in the face of many other choices, many other paths, someone chooses you and loves you without measure, that is almost Our scripture this morning reminds us that God chooses us. God chose us before the creation of the world and accepts us and loves us with overflowing grace and forgives us in Christ for all of our failures. God chooses us and loves us without measure. And this is such a gift and is almost unfathomable. The flower girl in Shelby's wedding was Lilia. Lilia is the 3-year-old daughter of someone we consider to be our adopted daughter. Just over 20 years ago, Steve and I went to Brazil with the World Methodist Council, and while we were there, we took a day trip with a group out to Campo Grande to the Ana Gonzaga Orphanage. It's while we were there that we met Iris. We were walking through the girls' dormitory, and we came across this young girl who was 13 years old, and her name was Iris. Somehow we began to communicate with her, even though we spoke English and a little bit of Spanish, and she spoke a little bit of Spanish and Portuguese. Somehow we figured it out. We found out her name was Iris, that she was 13. And Steve asked Iris what it was said, what do you like to do? And she said, oh, I like to sing. And he said, well, then sing for me. She paused for a moment, and then she sheepishly looked at him, and she said, well, what do you like to do? And he said, well, I like to sing too. And she said, well, then sing for me. So Steve started singing Amazing Grace, and Iris joined in. That day, as we were leaving the orphanage and we were pulling out of a dirt parking lot on our tour bus, we looked out at this makeshift band of children and teenagers who were all playing drums, and we saw Iris. She's kind of at the very back in the middle of that picture. And most of the trip back to where we were staying, Steve and I didn't say anything. And then when we got close to the hotel, we both looked at each other, and we just knew that we were supposed to do something. So we talked to the missionaries at the orphanage and asked them what it was that we might be able to do for her. And they suggested that Iris come and live with us for 3 months on a student visa. We were both seminary students at the time and quite poor. But we knew that that's what we should do. And so a few months and several miracles later, Iris came to live with us, and she was there for those 3 months. Later, Iris was adopted by a family in the States, and they had been wanting to adopt her for a while. And then when she was 23, we reconnected with Iris, and she came to live with us for a year. Then when Iris got married, we went to Michigan and did her wedding ceremony. And then when she had Lilia, she brought her to Florida, and we all celebrated the baptism together. We chose Iris. We adopted her into our family. It wasn't based on who she was or on anything that she had done. We really knew nothing about her. We just knew that she needed to be chosen. She needed to be loved and accepted. We chose her because we loved her. And we love her because we chose her. God has chosen us before the creation the world. Not because of who we are or anything that we have done, but because we need to be chosen. We need to be loved. We need to be accepted. We need to be forgiven. The message says it this way. Long before God laid down the foundations of the world, God had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, God decided to adopt us into His family in Jesus Christ. God loved us. God chose us because God loved us. And God loves us because God chose us. God chose us. God adopted us. God adopted us through Jesus Christ, and we are forgiven by His overflowing grace. It's that kind of love that we hope every parent has with their child. That love that accepts and forgives no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the offense. And that love that then expects the best out of the child. You've probably heard it said before that God loves us exactly as we are, and loves us too much to let us stay there. So, I invite you to look around the room this morning. Really, take a minute and turn around and look at everybody around you. Each and every person here is your adopted brother or sister. Each person here, like you, has been chosen and adopted by God. This letter to the Ephesians was written to Jews and to Gentiles, to those who had previously been considered chosen and unchosen, clean and unclean, worthy and unworthy. Them all. And as humbled as we are, when we grasp God's overflowing grace and lavish love for us, we are also called to extend that same grace and lavish love on all of our adopted brothers and sisters. We are all very different from one another. And that seems no more apparent than it is right now in our families, in our communities, and in our nation. But we are called to lavish love for the sake of the world on all our adopted brothers and sisters. To love wherever it is needed, not wherever it is only deserved. And the only way we do that is in Christ. Did you hear that refrain in the scripture passage this morning? It's said over and over again, in Christ. God blessed us in Christ. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. God planned to bring all things together in Christ. We have received an inheritance in Christ. Being in Christ means that we are transformed by the overflowing grace of Jesus Christ, so that we love our brothers and sisters, our adopted brothers and sisters, not based on who they are, but because of who we are, and for the sake of the world. That song that I referenced, the song called I Choose You, begins as a love song between two people. And it continues as God's love song for us. will move mountains. We will live on our knees. And He'd choose us. God would choose us. In 100 lifetimes, God would choose us. In 100 worlds, God would find us. And we'd say, we do. For the rest of our lives, with all that we have, we do and we will. When the sky turns black and God comes back riding on the clouds every day, every moment, every breath we take, we'll choose you. We will choose God. God chooses us, and we will choose God. May that be our prayer. Let's pray together. Oh God, before the creation of the world, you chose us. You adopted us in Christ to live holy and blameless. You forgive us through the overflowing grace of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your lavish love. And now may we live as you call us to live, as one family, adopted brothers and sisters. May we love not based on who someone else is, but based on who we are, and that we belong to you. It may seem impossible, but in Christ we can move mountains. This morning, we commit again to live on our knees as your own people, to choose you every day, every moment, every breath we take. We choose you.
It is at this table that God gathers the family. Here, through the work of Christ, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, his offering for our sake and for the sake of the world, here God invites all of the adopted brothers and sisters to come and break bread together. And so I want you to know this morning that whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, this table is a place where you find gracious welcome, because God has chosen you, and nothing can change that. And so you are welcome at the table. At the table we remember that Jesus did come and live among us to show us the perfect and obedient life, and to offer himself fully for the sake of God's purposes. And when he knew that the time was coming when he would have to offer up his very life for that cause, he gathered his disciples for a final meal. And that night, as they shared the meal, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to them and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks. And he shared it with them and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. gracious and merciful God, we come to this table with thanksgiving in our hearts for your goodness, and in light of your choosing of us, we are overwhelmed by your love and ask that here you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us so that in receiving the bread and the cup, we might recognize once again Christ's presence in them and with us, drawing us together in union with you and with one another and in ministry to all the world. So now bind us, nourish us, lead us in all things. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come and the elements to share with the congregation. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the mystery of your grace received in this meal by which you have nourished us. Now lead us out into the world in service to you and in love for all your children. In the power of your Holy Spirit that work among us.
And now it's free. As you go out into the world, may you go out loving your brothers and sisters, not because of who they are, but because of who you are. By the unfailing love of God, the overflowing grace of Jesus Christ, and the inheritance that is yours through the power of the Holy Spirit.